Now, when you think about buying a smartphone, what company do you think of? Apple, of course, Apple. Samsung is probably another one that many people think of.
HTC,
that's a name that has gone past. But what about if you are going shopping to make dinner? Where would you go? Woolworths. Where?
IGA.
IGA, yeah. Aldi, yeah, yeah. So we got different shopping centers shopping centers that we might actually go to buy groceries. What about cars?
Holden,
of course, Holden.
Ford.
Yes, Holden and Ford. Personally, I'll go for a Toyota. But can you see, when we have a problem, or when we have a need, we have a particular brand or a particular company that we instantly think of, don't we? When we think about smartphones or a computer, we either think about Apple or Microsoft or even Dell or HP. When we think about cars to buy something like a car, we think about Ford and a Holden, and then we discard both and get a Toyota. But in many respects, those companies project that idea upon us because they have shown, they have made known to us, they have a solution for our problem. They have a solution or an answer to the mystery of what we need in life. So whether we want to go shopping for groceries or whether we want to go shopping for cars, we have different brands that we can look up to. And those brands is made known to us through the companies that make them. The companies have a purpose to make those products known to us so that we'd go out of our way to buy it and make profit for them. Isn't that right? I think that's right. And likewise, the church, as an assembly of God's people, have a purpose for its existence. It is not a social gathering whose agenda is decided by the people, but rather the people meet as a church for God's purpose. That is, as we have seen earlier in the letter to the Ephesians, God chose us to be members of the church for His very specific purpose. It is immature to think that the church exists for the benefit of its members, when God's purpose is that the members gather together to fulfill the mission of the church. The members of the church are gathered together, that we meet together to fulfill the purpose, the mission of the church. And that purpose is seen in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11, where Paul writes, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church exists to make known the wisdom of God to all creation, which means that as a member of that same church, we must also fulfill that mandate, don't we? We need to fulfill that mission of making known the wisdom of God to the whole world. Just as our body follows the direction of what our head says, we, the body of Christ, must follow our head, our Lord Jesus. And that direction, that purpose, is in revealing and making known the wisdom of God for His glory. Which means that we need to know what it is that we must make known, shouldn't we? We need to know what that wisdom of God is. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, if you look at your outline, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Paul writes, "It is because of Him, that is God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." The wisdom of God is Christ Jesus, who has become our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Put simply, the wisdom of God is the good news about our Lord Jesus, who came to die so that we might be redeemed through His blood. And not only that, as we saw last week, His death meant that we Gentiles are united in Him so that we can partake in that redemption won on the cross. We Gentiles are united in Him with Israel to partake in that redemption won on the cross. This is the mystery Paul is writing about in today's passage. The mystery which has been revealed to him so that he could make it known to the world. So let's read verses 1 to 7 again to see what Paul means by this mystery that must be revealed. From verse 1, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power." So what is the mystery of God? What is the mystery that needs to be revealed? The first thing about the mystery is that it is all about God's grace. The first thing we must note about the mystery is that it is all about God's grace. As we see in verse 2, the mystery is God's grace given to Paul for the Gentiles. Paul was the administrator of God's grace for the Gentiles because he was chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Remember back in the story of Acts, that Paul was set apart to become the apostle to the Gentiles, where Peter was to go to the Jews. So there was a deliberate setting apart of Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He was chosen to take the message of the gospel to the Gentiles so that they can become united in Christ with the Jews, which is what the administration of God's grace really means. It's his job description. When we read that he has, in verse 2, he says, "You have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you," he's actually talking about his job description, that he has become an administrator of God's grace for the Gentiles. By his ministry, he is making known God's grace to the Gentiles who would have had no clue about what happened in Palestine. And secondly, by definition, a mystery is hidden, isn't it? It is a hidden and unknown thing. A mystery is something that is hidden from sight and not known by people. A good mystery cannot be known without someone else telling you the answer. And like a good mystery novel or a movie, the mystery of God was hidden until God chose to reveal it. And not even the prophets of the Old Testament or the angels knew what that mystery was. And it had to be revealed, as the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of the things they have not been told, the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things." The mystery was kept hidden from everyone until it was fully revealed in Christ. And that is the mystery that we are to reveal as a church to the whole world, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to the world, died on the cross so that we might be forgiven. Thirdly, but now that this mystery was made known to God's holy apostles and prophets, now through the Holy Spirit, God has revealed the mystery of His grace so that it can be fully understood, fully known. God chose His apostles to reveal the mystery which even the angels did not know. And this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles have an inheritance with the Jews, where in the past, only the Jews had any expectation of redemption. Now that grace has been revealed to the whole world, now that the grace has been revealed to the Gentiles through the work of Paul's ministry, every people have the chance to be part of that redemption. This is a profound mystery. For how could a people who is said to be unclean in the Old Testament, a people that was supposed to be segregated from God's people, become united with them for their salvation? This is the mystery that the Jews did not understand. This is the mystery that even the angels did not understand, that it wasn't just the people of Israel that was going to be saved, but every people from all over the world was going to be joined to Christ through faith. This is why the mystery is all about God's grace. From start to finish, the mystery is given and revealed by God. But without God's grace, no one would have understood God's plan of redemption and salvation. The Jews didn't get it, even though they had the scriptures. Even though they had the prophets telling them, they did not understand what God was planning to reveal to them, that even the Gentiles were going to be saved. That is why Paul writes in verse 7 that he is a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to him. Having received the revelation of the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages, Paul is compelled now to make known that mystery to all the Gentiles. For what God has revealed must be revealed to the whole world. God did not reveal the mystery just to the apostles so that they can keep it to themselves. He did not reveal the mystery so that the apostles, the 12 apostles and the disciples, had their own merry band of brothers and left it at that. God's purpose in revealing his mystery was so that the mystery can be revealed to the whole world, even to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Which means that even though the mystery had been hidden in the past, it must be revealed to the world now. For a mystery hidden has no power or influence, does it? A mystery hidden is still a mystery, and there's nothing we can know from it. But God's mystery now revealed has the power to save and redeem, doesn't it? When we think about sin, where should we go? If we want to deal with our sin, where must we go? It's in Jesus. And where can we know about Jesus? It's the church. That's where salvation is taught. That is where the gospel is proclaimed. If the church is not making known the gospel, then where can people go to know what the mystery of God is? The mystery of God is not a treasure that must be kept in a box and locked away. The mystery of God is a treasure that must be shared and made known to the world. The mystery of the gospel finds its fulfillment when it is revealed to the whole world. Which means for the church to fulfill its purpose and mission, it must reveal the wisdom of God, the mystery that the world still does not know. For to the world, the gospel is still either unknown or irrelevant, isn't it? It still does not understand why the world needs to know Christ crucified. But to us, the unsearchable riches of Christ have been revealed. Our eyes have been opened. Our hearts have been made flesh. We have been given a fleshy heart by the Holy Spirit to understand and accept the mystery of the gospel. Although the world will not see any worth in the gospel, to us the gospel is an unsearchable riches of Christ because of its unlimited value, because the grace of being joined to Christ and to each other cannot be measured. It is something that is beyond measure, beyond price. For the salvation that we have in Christ is priceless, isn't it? We cannot put a price on it. We cannot even give anything in return for our salvation except to put our trust and faith in Him. It is a salvation that is not a plan B of God as well, isn't it? We've read in chapter 1 of Ephesians that God had chosen us before creation. This was His plan A all along, that He will save us through the death of His Son, and that He will join the Gentiles to the Jews and unite us as the body of Christ. And that was His plan right from the beginning. And He made known to us the mystery of our salvation through the preaching of the gospel. It is through the preaching of the gospel that we can understand this is what God's purpose was. This is the mystery that He was going to reveal to us through His Son. Which means that if we truly understand the riches of Christ in the mystery of God's grace, then we must make it known to the world. What's the point of having something so valuable, something so worthwhile for the whole world, and not reveal it? If we have something valuable, shouldn't we be revealing to people? If we have something that is really needed by the people of the world, shouldn't we be revealing it, making it known that there is a solution in the church? There is a solution that you must hear in the church. Or worse, what's the point of meeting as a church if we don't reveal to the world why the church exists in the first place? If we are not making known the mystery of God's grace in the church, through the church, then why meet at all? Why come together on Sundays? Why come together as Bible, in Bible studies? Why actually go to each other's places and share lives? Why do we do all of that if we are not making known God's wisdom, God's grace, God's mystery? If God has revealed this amazing and infinitely valuable gospel to us, shouldn't we, like Paul, become its administrators and stewards? Shouldn't we be letting people know what the gospel is, if that is the mission of the church? If that is why we exist as a church, if we are brought together to become a church so that we can reveal the wisdom of God, shouldn't we actually be doing it? If we are not proclaiming the gospel, if we are not making known the gospel, then what are we saying about the gospel that we have received? What are we saying about the revelation that we have received? Are we treating it as the most valuable thing in the world if we are not making it known? If our purpose in church is not making known the gospel, then what are we saying about the gospel that is the center of our lives, the foundation of our church? And if we don't treat the gospel as valuable, how can we ever expect the world to treat the gospel as being valuable? This means that the members of the church must think corporately rather than individually about the church. We must not forget, as we have read today, the purpose of our salvation is to be joined in Christ, to be the church, to declare God's wisdom. We do not come together for a social gathering, do we? We don't come together just to have lunch or dinner together. We come together to be actively promoting the gospel, to making known what the gospel is all about. Many Christians think that as long as they have faith, it doesn't matter whether they meet up with other Christians or not. That you can watch sermons on the internet or listen to them online and listen to sermons online, and that's it for your Sunday worship. But does that fulfill the purpose of the church if we are not gathering together? If we are not gathering together to worship God together, to make God known to the community? If we think like this, we fail to see that Christianity was never about being individuals. Christianity was always about being a corporate body of Christ. When God gives his gifts to the church, to us, he doesn't give it to individuals to use for their own benefit. God gives gifts so that we can build each other up. Christianity is always about corporate meetings. It's about the corporate body of Christ rather than being individuals. Yes, we are saved individually. Salvation is an individual problem. That we need to be saved individually. That our salvation doesn't depend on someone else. But once we are saved, how we live as Christians is within the context of the church. How we live as Christians, individual saved Christians, is determined in how we come together as a church. The purpose of our salvation is to exercise the various fruits and gifts that God has given us and to obey the command of Jesus to love each other as we lovingly share each other's gifts. As we lovingly share each other's lives, that is where we fulfill the purpose of the church. Which means that as believers, we must not separate our faith from the unity of the church. For isn't that what verses 9 to 11 is really saying today? Have a look at verses 9 to 11 again. To make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Understanding the mystery is an individual response to the gospel. But the goal of salvation is seen in verse 10. The intent of God is to reveal his wisdom to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Not through individuals being righteous, but through the church, the unified body of Christ. But considering that what some churches are like today, how can we say that God's intention is valid? How can we say that God's intention is actually being fulfilled now in the church? When churches fight within themselves, when churches fight with each other, when churches are unloving and uncaring, when churches have let go of the fundamentals of God's word, when there are so many problems within the churches all around the world, how can we even claim that God is using his church to declare his wisdom when we see so many problems that is happening in the worldwide church? But the fact that some churches are not living in accordance to their purpose does not mean that God's intention and plan is wrong. Just as Israel's disobedience did not destroy God's covenant with his people, a church being unfaithful to its mission will not invalidate God's plan, God's purpose. If anything, it shows how great God's grace is, isn't it? How great God's grace is in using frail people for his own purpose. For the manifold reason, for the various wisdom, the infinite wisdom of God is seen in the work of Christ to bring salvation to a broken people. The wisdom of God is seen in the effective ministry of the Spirit to change people's hearts, to put their trust in Jesus. The very existence of the church declares to the world that God's foolishness is wiser than the wisdom of the world. For the church, by definition, is an assembly of sinners, isn't it? A church, by definition, is an assembly of confessed sinners. We all confess that we are sinners. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here. But if you all confess that we are righteous, why do you need to be here? Right? A church is an assembly of confessed sinners, which means that we must expect problems, but deal with it with the love of God. We are an assembly of sinners who trust in a symbol that is very offensive. A symbol that is very offensive, that was very offensive to the first century Jews and even to us now. For God intended to make known the wisdom in choosing what was foolishness to the world to accomplish what he could not do, what we could not do ourselves. He chose the cross to be the tool, the instrument for our salvation, that the Son of God would die on the cross so that we might live. He chose the lowliest thing to bring about our salvation. So who would have known that the cross was the way of salvation? Who would have known that God would achieve his purpose, his plan of salvation through the cross of Christ? How could we have ever known that the symbol of shame and death would mean life and resurrection for us? And what's more, how could we have possibly known that God's intention was to bring all peoples and unite them in the body of Christ? God did unite us and saved us through the offensive cross. And by this fact, by the fact that we have trusted Jesus and stand united in him, truly reveals the miraculous grace of God. The church as it stands now, as people are gathered, brought in to be united through their faith in Christ, reveals to the world the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God in bringing salvation through the death of his Son. Which means that if we know the incomparable riches of Christ and God's purpose for his church, how we live must conform to God's purpose for his church, shouldn't it? How we live individually must also conform to what the church corporately must do. For we have been saved, we have not been saved on God's whim, but we have been saved for the specific purpose to be united in the body of Christ, to make known the mystery of God. So we must make sure that our entire ministry, whether it is individual or corporate, reveal the wisdom of God to the world. Everything in we do in church must conform to God's purpose and mission for the church. If we are not revealing the gospel, if we are not making known Christ in what we do, in our meetings, in our talks, in our Saturday morning gathering, in our prayer nights, in everything, if we are not making God Christ known, then how are we fulfilling the purpose of the church? How are we actually making known God's purpose in using His church? If God is using His church to display His infinite wisdom, shouldn't we do just that individually as well? Shouldn't our unity and love prove God's wisdom? So let's make sure, firstly, that we have the right understanding of what the church is. It is not a social gathering. It is an assembly of sinners united in Christ. Here there is no boasting except to boast in the mystery of God's grace. Secondly, let's make sure we have a right understanding of the purpose of the church. Its mission is to make known the wisdom of God in saving us through the death of His Son, Jesus. And finally, let's make sure that as individual members of the church, we actively participate and promote the mission of the church in revealing the gospel in our lives. Let's make sure that we are living that, based on that gospel, that we are making known to the people around us what the gospel is all about. For the wisdom of God is displayed not in the building we meet in, but in the people who meet in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you will give us great understanding, great insight into the mystery that you have revealed to us through your Son. Lord, we pray that as a church, as your church, that we can truly make known the mystery of the gospel to the world. In the ministries that we serve in the words that we proclaim, in getting out there amongst the community, Lord, we pray that our church can fulfill its purpose in making your wisdom known to the world. So Lord, help us and mold us and change us so that we can truly reflect your intention in the way we live and in the way we talk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.